I just back my table with it from the tank. I'm here, ready. So, the more welcome. And it will be here from the hottest month. Why do you want to do the period of the we know all the things that are written from you. And then, amongst us, two legal advisors. That is the music and Carlos. I'm an extreme right and the studio for my student and my student. But left and right. So I would like our presenters, I believe that this material was 100% pleasant to get to have our people amongst us. And this heavy material, and we put that to the left, because you know what I'm going to talk about in the reason why. That is, I mean, I'm supposed to be head by hand. Thank you for coming in the middle. I would like to be more people here, maybe I could put a number. You know that they are taking things from the whole country. Since there is no one, we would like to visit the person and then we'll tell you who we are. One of the members would be right here. Which media are you representing? Okay. We would like to know who are you and who is the conversation and coming to
you. I'm Mr. Dean W. Peters from the Telecom South Africa.
I'm Andrew.
I'm from the National Conference, where the way it's got all the way to the
end. I'm Chris Walker from the Academy of Science and the Office of Science and Science.
I'm sorry. I'm Pam from PMG.
We also want to go to the moment we are. I'm Shirase, somebody with a huge challenge for the commission. I'm from the Great Republic, and then my constituency is Triangle.
Can I just keep someone who's next? I'm a member of the commission from the public.
My name is Tomasina Mujibu, I'm from the commission.
My name
We are on the way to pray. In the way of me. I am. Apostolic foundation of the rest.
Thank you very much. At least we have to know the procedures that you talk to your presentation. And I'm reading word by word. Because otherwise, if you read word by word, it will sort of like bring the whole day sitting here. And then people don't ask it. When you talk to your presentation, it's simple for them to control by hand. And then each presentation will take an hour. It means that you can brief us maybe for 40 minutes. 30 minutes will be here to another member to raise for 10 up to take advice for clarification. An hour for presentation and then 30 minutes will be here to address 40 minutes. 34 for presentation, 4 for presentation and then 44 for member to raise for members to raise. Thank you very much. We're listening to our first presentation will be from the back of the volunteer led by Ben Troy. I think I pronounced it well. We used to call it Troy and we call it Troy.
Thank you, Chair. The correct pronunciation will be Troy, but as you know, we have Africa, so anything is possible. I'll just refer you to our submission. If you haven't seen the document, I think the submission is marked A in this pack of documents. I can't refer to a page number, so if you could help me with that.
Just a bit. To the tool?
Yes.
It's the back. To the rock the back.
Yes, I would like to start with thank you for having us here this morning and to listen to our presentation or to at least to speak to our submission. In this presentation, the Dutch Reformed Church would like to express its support for the reading of the Dutchie from the Church Union Act, number 23 of 1911, by supporting the Dutchie from Church's Union Review Bill. The grounds are historically and also in terms of the content and also in the light of our new constitution that we have since 1996. This actually seen within the historical context, which is the year after the founding of the Union of South Africa in 1910. With this, the unification of the four British colonies in South Africa, which became a constitutional unit under the British flag. At that stage, the federated Dutch Reformed Churches. The synods were divided according to the provincial borders of South Africa, which were Cape Church, Transvaal Church, Natal Church, and the Free State Church. And it was foreseen that these four churches or synods should be united as one church. This actually at that stage also protected the rights of the so-called colored members of the Cape Synod to remain members of the United Church. Should they, however, move to another province, and that's clause 9 of this bill, they had to, over the fact, they had to become members of the Dutch Reformed Mission Church, the Independent Act, which was established in 1881, and they thus forfeit their membership to the DRC. Should they return to the Cape, however, they would be able to take up their membership again. Now, because of the fact that 75% of the congregation which was applied to say yes for the unification could not be acquired, this act actually didn't ever be enacted upon. So that's the first point that we would like to just point out. In 1952, these churches united as one church. This was made possible by the acceptance of the Private Act, the Dutch Reformed Church in South Africa, Act No. 22 of 61. This act repealed all previous legislation, such as the ordinance of 1843, etc., in the document for your reference. Thus, in October 1962, the General Synod of the DRC was founded in Cape Town when the Cape Synod, the Transvaal Synod, the Free State Synod, the Natal Synod, and also the Synod of the Church of Central Africa, which was in Rhodesia, and Southwest Africa, later called the Namibia, was united in one synod as one church. On this ground, of the historical explanation alone, the existence of Act number 23 of 1911 is irrelevant and should be therefore repealed. That's the first important point that we'd like to make. Now, since the existence of our new constitution, the relationship between church and state are determined particularly in terms of section 15, 18, and 31 of the Constitution. Freedom of religion and free association, and then 31, which reads cultural, religious, and linguistic communities belonging to a cultural, linguistic, or religious community may not be denied the right which other members of that community to enjoy their culture, practice their religion, and use their language, and to form join and maintain cultural, religious, and linguistic associations and other forms of civil society. The organizational function of the Dutch Reformed Church is determined by the Church's own constitution, which is called the Kerk Order van de Nederlandse Reformeerde Kerk. It is this constitution of the full Church, of the Church, which should be considered in the case of dispute, in as much as it do not contradict the values of the constitution, but also because its members voluntarily subject themselves to the conditions of the church. The vested rights of a church, such as the Dutch Reformed Church, are thus protected provisionally enough within the expressed rights and values of the Constitution. This in effect renders both Act Number 23 of 1911 as well as Act 22 of 1961 redundant. Although the DRC does support the repeal of these two acts, we would also be explicitly express our gratitude towards the Honourable Member of the Parliament responsible for this high vote. By this, exposing himself to criticism, but By taking the church to God, we have ever considered the objectives of the referral to the situation formulated in the memorandum which accompanies this bill in the progress. This memorandum states that the intention of the receiving of this act is to remove any obstacles in the process of the unification process of the DNS, the Premier Cat, the Reformed Church of Africa, and the Dutch Reformed Churches. Now, the Chair, this will be dealt with also in the submission of the SACC, which will be tomorrow morning. And as a body of churches, we actually last weekend together and accepted the submission to make a kind of an appeal and a submission to how we do. This whole issue should be dealt in terms of the churches, which is involved in this whole act. The motivation of the repealing of this Act of 1911 should thus not be grounded in the present unification process, now, which is in the current one, but in the irrelevance of the Act itself, as described above. Particularly in the light of the fact that the objectives of this Act was in any case reached with the founding of the General Synod of the Dutch Reformed Church in South Africa in 1962. The fact of this historical event alone rules this Act invalid. It is, however, contrition that the name of the Dutch Reformed Church is not mentioned in point 3, bodies consulted of the memorandum. Those bodies consulted, as stated in 3, have nothing to do with the Dutch Reformed Church. One would hope that this is not a reflection of the legislative process in general. In conclusion then, in the light of the above mentioned, the Dutch Reformed Church pledged its support for the repeal of both acts of 1911 and 51, with the provision that the repeal shall not affect the previous operation of any law so repealed or anything duly done or subsequent to law so repealed or affected in any right, privilege, obligation, or liability acquired, occurs or incurred under any law so repealed or affects any investigation, legal proceeding, or anything in respect of any such right, privilege, obligation, or liability. Thank you for the privilege to serve and interact in a positive way. That's the culture front that our presentation will help the National Parliament to make a positive decision by repealing Act 1923 of 1911 and the founding program for the Act 22 of 1961. Thank you, Jay.
Thank you very much, Jay, for the presentation. I don't know whether I see or hear from the sign that we have been in the cannot in that we have not shared something like that. Is there anybody who can move on to establish? Is there any sort of killing? Is there any? Well, it's not part of the team, right? Thank you very much.
So you
can't get
off the bottom of the sideline?
Yes. I think the honorable members were really more attentive. And would like to bring it to a chair. I don't want to hear that before they do that. One of the honorable members, and the other one, 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 and
content. It's good to use it.
Second question is that this process I am sure is intended to integrate the society of the country. But I want to find out from you what are you doing as a church? You will find a church, that's a concept, a case house. It is another one in Congolese. But these churches are separate. What is the church doing, first of all, to strengthen the integration and non-Christianity of the church in the country?
Thank you very much for another good question. You somehow covered my question and my concern that the church is very, you should have somehow improved that we show that the discrimination to thy God. I thought maybe break my forever along the way. Maybe as far as racial, this is a concern. To prove that it is we are not a change of society. The first part of my question was covered by Bernardo Rachel. And it would seem that you are trying to convince us. Thank you very much. That's what we may not avoid the several questions and then the response to the question. President Guru?
Thank you, sir. I would like the President to give me a clarity on the I find that three names, three churches. One church is one church, which is the Austrian. Another one there is the Charity Reformed Mission Church, which is NG. And the other one is Charity Reformed Church in South Africa.
I think I am not so relevant by his own response. Maybe we can just follow up. Your response, man.
Thank you, Chair. Can I just say that I am the official representative of the Church of the executive of the General Church of the Dutch Reformed Church. I'm the parliamentary head, and I am also responsible to this office in terms of the General Synodality of the Dutch Reformed Church, was called the leadership body of the church. So this is an official submission, and it is done with the total support of the church there as such. Although I'm only a lone person here, I'm here in terms of the 1.3 million members of the church. And I'm speaking officially with the authority that I have. So that would be the first question, if you're okay with that. Thank you. The next one is more difficult in terms of the... we are in a process now which has already been for two decades of the unifying of the whole Dutch Reformed Church family. Now may I also... On the third question, in terms of the name in the submission, just to make a clarification, that we have the Dutch Reformed Church, which is the oldest Reformed Church in South Africa, and I'm representing the Dutch Reformed Church. And then in 1881, then it was called the Inkstenenkerk, was established here in the Cape Colony. And the Inkstenenkerk and the Inkstenenkerk Dutch Reformed Church in Africa, those two churches finding ways of becoming one United States. In terms of our membership, we are open to all races, and I can take you any day to a number of congregations of the Dutch Reformed Church, and we'll see that the membership and attendance will be across the cultural and also in terms of language, even of our country as it says. So we have an open membership, and we are striving with all programs and things to have an integrated church. So referring then to the fact that they are still in terms of an historic process that we're visiting, still congregations would be in, for instance, with the letter or in Belgium or wherever in terms of the church structure that it is at the church. That doesn't mean that we are not working very hard for unifying the whole family of churches, which also includes the family of churches in Zimbabwe and in Malawi and in Zambia and also in Zambia. So as a family of churches, we have congregations and churches over the whole of Southern Africa, not only in South Africa.
Thank you very much. I'll start with the plan of the other line for the next and then follow up with it.
Thank you, Chair. First of all, I was a former member of the NCA. 3 years ago, someone asked me about my colleagues, how are you?
Thank you.
you are using this word, you are waiting very hard, you want to be nice, very together with the nature, you can't have it. Into an ambitious church. Without a program, this becomes meaningless to me. Without time frame, maybe after 10 years we will still be singing this word. And that we are trying very hard to be nice. Can you tell us how? What is that your question very hard at? So, we have a program that is
thanking you for your presentation, not a dilemma, but I should think that it will ask me three questions, but in different ways. What you are defining this case, what will be the process in this case?
Thank you. Another response?
Thank you, Jeff. May I just try to convince you that the business of this committee, of this particular committee, in terms of the appeal of the act that we have on the table here, in our presentation we tried to say that the repealing of this act, which is this particular committee's business, has really got no relevance for the current unifying process. So I hope that you would understand our position in terms of this. That I would gladly answer all these questions, and I'm going to do it now. But just to set the record in terms of our submission, is that the Act of 1911 was about four synods of the when then white church to unite. And our unifying process now is about unifying the family of Dutch Reformed churches, which is not white church, but is the Dutch Reformed Church, the United Reformed Church, the NDKA, which is the Dutch Reformed Church in Africa, and the Reformed Church in Africa. So if I could just, you know, first of all, just put this on the table that we should do, I think, understand one another in terms of our position here. We are not talking on the position of 1911. 1911 came after the Union of South Africa, and it was a way of seeing that the Dutch Reformed Church then be denied as one church. It didn't work. It only became in 1962 one church. That's the first remark I would just like to on the table. Secondly, one of the honourable members asked about the confession of Belfast. Yes, the confession of Belfast is at this stage in the centre of the discussion in terms of the unifying process that we are in now. In 2006, we had an Eston talk coming together of the United Reformed Church and the Dutch Reformed Church executives. And there they embarked on a way forward to incorporate the confession of Belfast in a consistent basis of a new established church. And they agreed with one another that that should be the way how it would be done in the process that lies in front of us. In the year after that, in the same year, we have the executives of the four churches in South Africa coming together, and then established what was called a concept of unifying process going forward. Subsequent to that, and this is very important to note here, the Dutch, the Reformed Church in Africa, and the Dutch Reformed Church in Africa, totally rejected the confession of their heart. Not the Dutch Reformed Church, but those churches. The Dutch Reformed Church is still in the process of trying to accommodate the confession of their heart in a way that would be acceptable to the members of the church. But this is still a process that we're in. But I would like to emphasize the fact that two of the four role players as churches in this uniting process, the Dutch Reformed Church in Africa and the Reformed Church in Africa, they totally reject the confession of God in this very difficult situation. But we're working on that. And in terms of, at that stage in Eastern Park, we said, in 3 years, we would be one. In the meantime, the complexity of this whole process brought us to a point where we understand now, and everyone in the church, all the parties in the church, agreed that 3 years would not be possible. And we're looking forward to the General Synod of the United Reformed Church in October this year, in Hammersdale, to see if they can help in terms of resolution in the process forward. In terms of the question, if there is going to be one head of the church, like a Roman Catholic church, you should understand that the Reformed tradition don't have a church leader. We choose a chairperson in terms of the synod, and that person is called the moderator, and he is only a moderator in terms of what has been given him as a assignment as far as that meeting is concerned. But we don't have the system like in the Roman Catholic Church or in the Anglican Church. And the Presbyterian Church is the same as us. The Presbyterian Church is the same as us. The legal persona of the church is tested in a local congregation and not in a synod, not in a general assembly or anything like that. We are thus not a democratic institution. We are a decentralized institution. So the whole question of is there going to be one leader is in terms of how the understanding of how the church, in terms of the church role is governed, is somewhat irrelevant. I'm not trying to be, it's just the way it is. We're not as the Catholic Church or the Anglican Church. I can refer to a certain example in this region, the Weinbergs in Weinberg in Cape Town, who have a Dutch Reformed Church and a United Reformed Church congregation in the same geographical area that became one congregation, and they are run as one congregation, integrated congregation. And I'm prepared to take any one of the committee members there to see how it is done. It's not without complications, but it is done. So, yes, there is a lot of complex things that in front of us, but at least there is a very strong will that the unifying process will proceed. But again, may I say that our submission would like to say that this has nothing to do with the Act of 1911, which we support, and should be repealed.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you for the opportunity to follow up. I believe that the letter I'd like to have, I have all opinion on whatever the change is, and I'd like to develop the spirit.
Error when it comes to the speed of the body of the
I wish the church would be at the forefront of democratizing the country, of bringing people together, dealing with poverty and poverty, dealing with unemployment. The church would be at the forefront of that. Now, if you tell me that there are creatures elsewhere that are currently what is integrating, and you say nothing about the church, of that reform test in Kukuletu, it becomes irrelevant to me. I want to find out from the church, Dr. Stewart, if you've got a program of bringing these two people, that is, one in Cape Town and the other in Kukuletu. One without a program to bring the country, this process to me, it becomes very
important. As one of the members made mention of the ex-court of all sexes, that was established for the unity of this country. And moreover, there was an act of 1911 that was for the white only, and we said it's no longer white history. And today, to align myself with Honorable Lichet, where was the black people by the time a new form, by the time of that ex-corporated that established the unit, where was the other group? Were you the only white only of?
Thank you, Chair. First of all, point 14 that was mentioned there is, however, conspicuous that the member of the Reform Church is not mentioned in point 3, bodies consulted of the memorandum. If you have the bill in your hand and you look on page 3, the memorandum of the office of the Reform Church, if you have that, I'll explain that. And the Honourable Member Haber also said that that omission, it should have been there, it's a typing error. But if you look at point 3, all body are mentioned there with except the Dutch Reformed Church, and that's the omission there. And that's what point 14 is referring to. So if you have clarified that, and I understand that that should be added. In terms of a program, Honourable Member, for you, Chair, that is a very definite program. I can keep you for this whole morning to tell you what happened since Esplanade Park. We had two after-birth consultations with representatives of all the churches there, in succession, over a period of 6 months, 8 months. We are foreseeing another after-birth consultation. After-birth is going to a specific place near Krugersdorp, where we have an area where we come together, which is called after-birth. So there is a program. It is an ongoing process with a program which is very complicated and has many, many problems that we encounter, but we are very determined that this should go forward. As is other churches in the town also being part of the unifying process, which is sometimes very difficult and for instance, what I mentioned is the confession of Belfast is totally rejected by two parties. The Dutch Reformed Church in Africa, which is predominantly a black church. They reject the Reformed Church in Africa, which is predominantly an Indian church. They are rejecting the confession of Belfast. They don't want to do anything with it. So it's not that easy. It's not a white on black thing here. It's within the constraints of the church itself. I would like to emphasize in the submission the point that we are trying to make, if you would bear with me, point 8 of the submission. The way we understand now, under the new constitution, there's a whole issue of the relationship between state and church. Since the acceptance of the new constitution, the relationship between church and state are determined particularly in terms of section 15, 18 and 31. We don't have any private church bills or acts anymore because of the fact that we are a secular state. And because of the separation between state and church, which is addressed in terms of these sections in the constitution. So we understand, not us alone, but as a religious body in our country now, inter-religious body, we understand that our rights as a church are vested in terms of the constitution, in terms of these So, that is why we say that the Act of 1911, in terms of its historical place, and also in terms of the accepted new constitution, is actually rendered irrelevant. The last question was about, could I just get that again? Excuse me, sir.
I said you may mention of an ex-com for formal testing and that establishes the unity. So, what I'm asking, where was the other group?
Thank you, Chair. In 1911, at the time of this act that we have in front of us, there was the Dutch Reformed Church and the Transvaal Church, the Free State Church, the Natal Church, and the Cape Church. So they were white churches. Then there was the NGC, the Dutch Reformed Mission Church, which was established in 1881, which was colored in terms of understanding the colored church. The members of the Dutch Reformed Church family, which was black at that stage, they were, in terms of mission church locations all over the country, they were organized later only in terms of the Dutch soldiers in Africa. So they weren't part of 1911. 1911 only was about the white church, not the other members of the church family. So when in the end, in 1952, the Dutch Reformed Church General Synod came to be in Cape Town, 1962. It was the white church that united, without the other members of the church family. The process that we're in now is about bringing together the whole family of church in one united church. And our submission is trying to convince this consultation body that 1911 has no relevance for the current process and program that we are running to unite as one family of church.
When did you start that unity? When did you start it? Because you said 1911 was for white only, I understand that. And then in 1962, I didn't understand you. I don't know what happened in 1962. And then, when did you form this ECCO? Is it after 1911 or after 1962? Where was the other group by the time? And then when did you start this process of unifying this group? The process of unifying the group, is it after 1962? When was it? Is it now last year or this year?
Yeah, the current unifying process started in the 1990s. It started with the resolution of the General Synod of the Dutch Reformed Church in 1989, and then in the following years, there was a process of bringing the four churches together. The 1962 process was between the then Synod in the Cape, in the Transvaal, in the Free State, in the South, in Namibia, in Zimbabwe, it was the white church uniting in 1962. This ECCO, now established since 2006, comprises all the churches, also the former Dutch Reformed Church in Africa. You must understand that uniting the four churches is already a united church in terms of colored and black. But a part of that church, of the uniting of the Dutch Reformed Church in Africa, did not unite with the Uniting Reformed Church. They stayed behind. And they are one of the most sharpest critics of the Confession of Belfast. It is really a very complicated matter at this stage. And again, I would like to say that the current process is not a white black thing. It is about vested interest. It is about a lot of things which we are not proud of, but we are trying to find a way forward.
Thank you very much. This year, when it was the democratizing this type of form of church, it could be one. One thing I'm saying, I don't know why it's between the lines of it. What to become one. It is one of the Kakarima. Talk one language, speak one language, and then we could separate it about one more. Thank you very much. I believe that if there is anything which is necessary to seek for clarity, when you call you to come in sort of like present the manner of finding to leave me free. You are free to do that, to come and tell by what you have to do. And I think you are a human to come and hear me to say, or if you call me to come and do. I don't think you have any problem to come and hear me to call you. Thank you very much. And the other thing is that if you feel like listening to others because they are so attentive to you, they are saying that they can take our job. This time I won't make mistakes and reduce this kind of thing. Yeah, I feel like it's difficult for them also. Your time is now expired. Our second presentation will be from the Apostle Mission of Africa, which was discriminating about gender identity. Over to
thank you, Chairperson. I want to put a record straight first. I'm here as not as a person that is much increased, to put it that way, with all the legal complications that is related to this matter. But I didn't call this thing very late, and when I phoned him to whatever then to get all the contents of the bullet then, I'll start with my representative. The ASM South Africa. To women by concern, the office made an honorable committee secretary for the portfolio committee for arts and culture. Referring to the first presentation of Africa, 5 April 18 BC1/2008. We thank you for the privilege and opportunity granted by State Parliament to submit the proposal in accordance with the matter referred to above. It is a great pleasure taking the opportunity the government has offered us. Being a third and the Lord's concern, it is with much appreciation to commit ourselves in the case of matter. Knowing this is not an easy loop to embark on, but one that has to be settled without burning all the bridges of consent in mutual understanding to accomplish and establish an environment where all care and love for life conduces to stability and prosperity for our beloved country. We so cry. The question at hand would be how far the government can go to appease everybody without saving the one and doing so inflicting harm on the other. It is viable as a solution to all. It is constructive to the peace of a nation as a whole, contributing to peace for all. Even this undertaking a journey to nowhere and to the unknown. To follow a proven route with obstacles and hurdles, it is less dangerous than embarking on a route that goes straight from the office, for who knows what lies beyond the bend. A new game taking us back in the direction we came from. Opposed to the long of home that won the excellent president in our galaxy, he came out a better man, and yet he prevailed so great and his sentiment towards those, inflicted the most unspeakable punishment a human can endure. Endure he did, and overcame the loss he suffered, and stood victorious over the bloodthirsty beast of apartheid, and united his people into the rainbow nation they are. By turning the other cheek, forgiving and reconciling those who suffered with those who committed atrocities, incomparable wages upon him, bringing a heart yearning for peace and development to the people. In echoing these very words, never, never again shall no one rule over the other, one over the other, for him and to the other's judgment, giving us a constitution that is unprecedented anywhere in the world, in the true form of democracy, freedom for all. Our constitution's Bill of Rights guarantees the following: human rights, women's rights, children's rights, etc. The right to a better life, including the right to our land, own land, the right to electricity, the right to clean drinking water, the right to employment, and also the right to religion and the right to education. And compassing all truly and emphatically constitutes our constitution. Presentation. On the review that contact my local. In the light of the senior, we accept this measure, being the refutable act of the church law that was only taken in our South Africa, as the code says, D71, 7008, and of law. As printed in the media, to highlight the plans the government has embarked on to achieve harmony and peace among the nation. Due to objections brought to the cause of scripture, I think, concern that it offends to a certain segment of the population of our country, we all have been working together to achieve a better life for all. This problem of the is the thing as exploited to offer to people those opposed to take scripture. The world has come to a long way, the world has come a long way in trying to exterminate those who cause the practice and the scriptures in question. And in Poland, Austria, Rome, and other countries involved in these atrocities over ages past, just to think about these atrocities committed to people because of creed and religion, being sure that one finds in memory the loss of life and property of those who were disrupted by the church. To please everybody is an impossible task, and to please some at the cost of others is unjustifiable. No one can change the seasons, have a longer summer, shorter winter, or no winter at all. Things would have worked out, but now, with climate change, global warming, and other weather patterns, it's mostly to blame for human intervention. Inventions to modernize the world we live in. Only thing is, we didn't adapt to our progressive lifestyle. Technology has come in leaps as Armstrong leaped on the moon in the 1960s. This less same for the common man, the poor and needy. Such is the consequences when established life patterns are changed in the name of futurism. In our present democracy, there is room for all. The fact is, we try to please everyone. There can only be a dominant effect of destructive chaos. We should have a catastrophic backlash of revival in our beloved country. Up to this point, the government has made a lot of concessions to concerned parties, such as Albania and some people, in good faith. Isn't this a new form of apartheid? So we must step softly in this matter. As the colored man told the black man, the white man, all are colored as a matter of fact. This is not debatable. So with the static laws of stop sign and new sign, speed limit, and other road signs need for adherence, so it is with the medicine, tablets, ointments, one has to take care. Such is the content of the scriptures in question. Above all, what is in the scripture concerns, plainly found in the Quran, the Torah, and even other sites. So we need to take care. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you very much. I think I will put quotes from the Bible. It was also people from it another at the end of time. There was one church in 1 minute that will be given. So we are all striving to be one. So this is time for honorable members to raise some time.
Have I missed something? Embedded in the foundation as cornerstone to our faith in democracy, it is with due respect the term is used to emphasize the importance to what is conducive to the strengthening and growth, to soar into its rightful place in the world arena where already Islam competes with much greater powers and authorities, showing its caliber and capability in helping to bring other countries to peaceful solutions. Therefore, constraints should be practiced in weighing it down with unnecessary loads in the form of too much of a good thing. Let's take the time and precaution before making new conclusions and commercial decisions in interest of all parties concerned. We believe the body consulted to be insufficient and partial towards others on the list as shown you. And those concerning the two concerning consultation. Above all those, consulted to stand in favor of the concerned laws being refused at the same time uphold the very laws in the oldest form, whereas the laws in question have been reformed according to the Bible. The Bible represents two forms of law. The Old Testament represents the law of Moses as practiced by Judaism and can be included in the writings of the Islamic Quran, which are rolled as such laws as a tooth for a tooth, an eye for an eye, when in contrast the New Testament teaches the consideration to God and man. And we quote, as we express our gratitude, we must never forget that the highest appreciation is not in utter words, but preserved by the day of Kennedy. Unquote. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Thank you. The message of Kena. Honorable Oberman.
I'm a woman, sorry. I'm a woman member of our congregation, and when I met with the media, the paper that was advertised in the paper, it took me to hard to get this thing, and I tried to get the support in our church, but no one. In the meetings, I told them about this, and I asked for support, but my brother on the right hand here came with me. He's an elder in our church. I took this into the pastor, he endorsed it, he read it through, and then he sent it for me, he signed it, and under that, I came down.
Maybe to add to what Honorable Oberman said.
Can you repeat, please, Honorable Oberman?
You feel that this function is in your personal capacity.
That's correct.
And your position on the board? Specifically, what is your position on the board?
To come to that point, as I have said, it was late when I got this. But the newspaper was just very honest. And when I phoned in, I only got this, these purposes of the both titles, no content, so I was never clear upon what the content of the book was. And so there wasn't time for me to study anything to make a clear conclusion about the repealment of the book. But we are here suddenly as ears to what the faith community, the respectable community will when they on the table was, and we are prepared to abide according to that and to take whatever is decided to our back to our church so we can work around that.
I have a little bit of a problem that you didn't read the text and stuff. Like, unless I'm reading it, and I'm telling you, that you just got it not long, and then you just sort of write it down to us. I don't know if
that's as I said, when I saw it noted in the media, I knew what it was about. And then I phoned Madeleine there, and she sent me the copies, the four copies of the both concerned, but as I said, yes, there was no content in it, so I could study what concerned was, what's all about the depth of the thing, of the matter, and you never have the content. I only have received the four outer, like this one. I should receive three, four of these, but not the content, and that it also concerned me. I was worried about it because I needed to have a in-depth understanding of the sound, but I came here today to get a better understanding of what this matter is about.
I think that's a consideration. That's why I say I'm having a problem that that's a really my understanding that if you need to sit down and consult other people and you happen to be contacted by or approached by the other member of the congregation, I don't have that thinking that maybe we differ. Another time.
I think in all terms of the gentleness, because what is presented to the comments today does not address the matter before the comments. And I just want to find out whether or not he asked Buleva for further information. Because I don't know what it is as a pastor and not. It really doesn't help the community. Member Opperman wants to know what is your position on this. And I think what you're saying is that you don't know what the bill is related to. Just the district bill is related to. So I just want to check, you know, how do you want to help? How can you help the community?
I expect the point with Donna was investment, and it wasn't that there wasn't that there was whatever, even though she was not really helpful in all time he spoke, she was really helpful and that is why I'm here today. But I must admit that I'm not much in line with the material, but like I said, when I did request for the four girls as the notice notified me, phoned in and I asked for the copies that was at the time. And I only got these. And I, at that point, I thought that it's not for me to have the content because I knew it was difficult for me to understand only completely what was the thing on me. But not having the content of the book itself.
Go on, Kevin.
Chairperson, public participation in the legislation is a constitutional imperative. It's not something that we can take lightly. And even the light of the fact that the honorable gentleman is supposed to be asked, which we are achieving, I think we should take a position as a committee.
Do
one who trips, just like we learn in Acts 12 or F.A. Rafi or the one that is And the whole thing about this thing is not nothing, it's not taking anything away from any church by repeating it. All we are doing is saying there is no need for a church to have an act of parliament on the set, on the election of feeling worthy for the election time of being. But churches or religion is universal. It's by the good. So we're coming after now. Actually, we're liberating the church by taking the act of the world. And so, therefore, there's not much in this book, but this book is actually saying that we are canceling the act of the Holy Spirit. That's the only thing. But it's a good thing that it came. And because it's very important that people are consulted. And also, for being here.
Can you just not say that we said copy? If I mean that the
I'm sorry we're delaying you. That's why I didn't document now. Sorry for that. I think we can start now presenting now.
You want to start?
Yeah.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and members of the committee. This is a largely uncontroversial one to be putting up today. Just for the benefit of this committee, you will all know that I'm the chair of Mr. Ventura, there's a standing committee hearing in November, which really considers the desirability or otherwise of the appeal of the voting principle. At that meeting, at those hearings, Violent Society was presented by a whole delegation, put forward their views. There was a debate whether it was really necessary to repeal the law, or nothing seemed to be unconstitutional or contentious. But the motivation advanced by Mr. Kerrigan this morning to the previous speaker illustrates that it's really considered not necessary to have separate legislation or something that can exist without that. That position, the Violent Society accepts, despite the fact that they've made their submission to the last committee and argued that it wasn't necessary to appeal, they accept the clause of appeal. All they want to do is to make sure that when the Act is repealed, and the day that the repeal Act takes effect and pursues the promulgation, that there is then an orderly transition of the present, from the present Violent Society to the new entity. In the memorandum I just handed to you, I'll summarize very briefly. It's self-evident that while the society, the statutory one, exists by reason of the Act presently being repealed. As a matter of interest, paragraph 2, historically, there has been a British and foreign violent society that existed since 1820, and the violent society later changed its name to the Violent Society of South Africa, and then eventually, in 1970, it was incorporated. Now, what would happen if the current bill is repealed? The present statutory society has many assets and liabilities. It's a running operation with turnover last year of some 76 million rand. It gets that part from donations, it gets it from sale of Bibles, it gets some dividend income, some interest, and so on. And the purpose of this would merely be to ensure that when the repeal act takes effect, that there's an orderly transition. Mr. Gerber advanced in one of his earlier briefings of, I think, the standing committee, issues like this act, as in the case of the other acts dealing with the churches, really created statutory institutions that operated outside of traditional business structures, and for that reason they were not necessarily subject to the same auditing, etc. regime. In the case of other societies, that wasn't the case. They do have an annual audit. But nonetheless, we accept that a few will happen. And so what's been the place of that? The Violent Society delegation informed the Ventura Committee in November that it needed some time, because now it had set up new structures to continue its work after the repeal of the Act, because although the statutory body will disappear, the work of the Violent Society will continue. I'm happy to say that it so happened at this time that last Friday, 29th August, the Statutory Bible Society had its last AGM, because it will cease to exist, in Bloemfontein, and they adopted the memorandum and articles of association that will govern the new body. I attached to the letter that I sent to your secretary extract from that memorandum, but it's not very pertinent, I think, to members. It's largely legal technicality, and it sets out the sorts of provisions that would have to be made to ensure the smooth transition from the existing statutory body to the new Section 21 company, which will operate just like any other company, as the company norms, subject to audit, etc.
you do not have that before you by way of an extract from the memorandum of association. I'll just take the time to read to you from the document on this what sorts of provisions one would need. In other words, what we ask you, Madam Chair, is that this committee and your parliamentary leader advisors liaise with us to make sure that the proper transmission measures are listed into repealable. At present, repealable has two single lines. This will be repealed and it's called the repeal act, whatever it may be. And that was simply to be fleshed out. The matter of interest in your bundle that you do have at the back, there's the existing act that is being repealed. And that's a useful demonstration to you of what we're about. If you turn to the back of your bundle, and the Act 15 of 1970, it's after the other two bodies' acts, but if you turn there, you'll see Bible Society of Africa Act 15 of 1970, and it runs into around 5 to 7 pages. If you turn there, it's just the version that I'm talking about. If you there, I'll proceed. The Bible Society Act 1970 has in paragraph 2, section 2 of the Act, the caption of incorporation of the site. So at that time, it said, now by virtue of this Act, we create you as a statutory incorporated body. Then it proceeded to set out the objects of the site in paragraph 3, the terms by establish the Bible themselves, translate the Bible. Section 4 set out the power that has to be given to the society successfully. And then very important, section 5, which is the caption resting on the Bible Society's property in the society. Now remember this one at the time, when it existed, pre-existed, as a non-incorporated, non-statutory Bible Society. And first of this act was to say, we must get all of that business and all of the property of that body into this new statutory body without penalizing it with taxes and levies because of this enforced transfer. And that's what you will see in paragraph in section 5.1. The whole of the movable and immovable property, which are commences of this act of the 1970, which is vested in the Bible Society already in its name, but upon commencement of the act, vested in the society and redeemed to be vested in its name, without payment of transfer duty or stamp duty or fees of office and so on, and gives power to the registrars of deeds to endorse title deeds and so on. Now, that's precisely something similar that we propose now to be incorporated in the repeal bill, saying that once this repeal bill takes effect, there will be a mechanism for transferring all the current assets of the statutory society to the new non-statutory Section 21 company that is being registered. It's fairly self-evident, but we must just make sure that these things are not forgotten and are not unintended. Otherwise, you will find dire consequences for the Bible Society. They will suddenly cease to exist on one day, suddenly lose all their tax exemptions on the same day if provision schemes haven't been made, and will have to pay huge duties and taxes to get its own transfers back into the name of the new Section 21 company. It's very self-evident. I may say, in regard to tax exemption, the Bible Society has done its homework. First of all, as you've seen in the memorandum, it is setting up now, it has approved the memorandum articles of this new body. On the tax front, the old tax, by reason of having been a statutory body until now, the Bible Society in 21 enjoyed certain tax exemptions in terms of certain sections of the income tax act that I referred to and quote. In particular, you'll see in my paragraph 9, I'm referring to section 10.1c6a from the Roman 1. The Sahel has confirmed that the moment this act is repealed, these exemptions will no longer be available, can't be transferred to the new Section 21 company. It what we will be doing is applying to SARS like any other party for a registration as a Section 30 public benefit organisation. That Violet Society will do on its own accord and by itself, but it's important that when the Act takes effect, that that's in place. All these things are being attended to. Our position is simply please take note of this, let us engage with your leaders and advisors, and let us make sure that the correct transitional measures are written into the people. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And
the
first part of the
I believe that even though there was a little bit of confusion, members were listening and at the same time they were listening to whatever was talking about. So, members, it's a time now to raise some questions. Then after that, who will be listening to the letter at the time, to sort of like any other thing, give us some way forward. How much will I remember?
So this is an invitation that the board will be served at for consultation of fuel fish.
Madam Chair, I'm not familiar precisely with your procedures. I would think not.
Sorry, may we wait for other questions? Maybe you can respond to that, maybe that amount will be getting more care. Or not
you? I would think not. I'm not familiar with the procedures, but you would be better able to judge what the referral facts mean. I would think that, but no doubt you will have. If that is taken of the submissions that we've made, and if the agreement with your new advisors, it's not a question of drafting the correct amendments to the repeal bill, but you'd be better able to judge whether the proposal package is an option or not.
Whether the committee will have to go on with one which
we will advise the committee in so far as we don't consent in the committee, so then we have to make a decision. And if the committee then decides to help to include it and we know the reasons, then we will drop the integration.
Thank you very much. You have the question ready to for clarity.
Madam Chair, can I just reiterate, I think, what Honourable Member Herbert said on the previous presentation of the previous, on the previous bill. It has always been the express intention that no existing rights should be taken away. That's never been the case. And if that is so, one must necessarily address the requisite transitional provisions to ensure that that doesn't happen. As I said, on the tax side, on firstly, on the incorporation of a new entity side, on the tax exemption side, we've done our homework and we're doing what we can. But on the one aspect where we do need parliamentary intervention is to make sure that there's no hiatus, that there's no gap where we simply in limbo, where we've lost our exemptions before the others kick in. And when we suddenly have to go and pay penalties, taxes, and levies just to get our own assets back into the new country. So that's all we after. It's nothing in addition. It's simply to preserve its existing business. It has a huge business and it has assets of some value. And it will attract many, quite hefty taxes and duties unless this provision, which I may say is very standard in the situation of this nature, is introduced. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. If there are can I just ask one question from you, and that is to confirm the citation for the executive function. It was 10-1A, doesn't it, on the A one like it, because I think it's really erosive.
If you allow me, I'll just check the Income Tax Act has quite difficult in Hungary. I've got a copy of the Act, and I can give it to you and just confirm. I think my citation is correct. That is simply a section, by the way, that entitles the Statutory Society, which still exists today, to get certain tax exemptions, along with other types of bodies described in that section. But SARS has confirmed that after the repeal of this bill, even if we create a new Section 21 company, it will not be an animal of that nature, and therefore we will apply to SARS independently for the same tax exemptions and in terms of Section 30 public benefit organization.
Good afternoon, sir. This is the opportunity to thank the presentation and the dialogue today. This presentation is highly legal, and I see that the Bible Society has promoted my family to do a practice. And I think both happening that is the legal and the legal representative of the committee should come together as soon as possible to set out things so that nobody is decided to do this. And if we could have time frame so that the process is not very long, I would be able to say to them.
Thank you. I just want to ask whether or not it is possible for is your request because you cannot
yourself approach fast. You know, that you deal with this transition and, you know, today be some time to manage to ensure that you are not adversely affected. But is the method that the committee has to do, or, you know, is there a possibility of your approach?
Madam Chair, can I respond to that?
Yes, both of them.
Thank you, both of them. Yes, the first week to the first, I hope that we get all the names, the first on the agenda. That's the part of our duty that we get together. And finally, county government has to pay.
Sorry, if George can be picked up.
George is picked up. Why, George, I agree with your suggestion. It can be done in a matter of days. We've done our homework. There will be no delay by reason of this interaction. Secondly, as far as Peter is concerned, it's a very helpful suggestion. We do make representations to start ourselves on a very urgent basis. We have every reason to think they will accommodate us. But this will be achieved by the amended repeal bill. If the amended repeal bill says that what we suggest it should, that it makes provision for transfer of certain assets and all the business to an identified entity which we have established by name and number. And SARS will then see that in order for this bill to promptly promulgate and kick in, that exemption must be in place. I am sure that we will be able to expedite the approval of our public benefit organization status. But certainly it will, I think, help if it comes from the committee and is endorsed by the committee, and in fact endorsed by the people itself. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
So this is the end of our meeting for today. not my own hand that present for 2 minutes only.
Or not.
And in a week after you. Yes.
Thank you.